some of the issues that we see as lawyers. So if we can skip ahead to, and I know this has been talked about, the denials without accompanying RFEs and NOIDs. Both Nicole and I have seen, we get these questions on listservs or, you know, from our colleagues, and some of us, I even have had a denial in our office for this reason, but just to kind of go over this issue, and we try to offer practice pointers. So, you know, these are things that might help you navigate through some of these issues. But with regard to denials, we hadn't seen it so much fruition after all these memos that came out shortly after this administration took charge. But I would say in the last year, we have seen some denials. I've seen two kind, both from prospective clients who've had problems and then our own clients. One for just really prospective clients submitting applications with lack of sufficient evidence, right? So they didn't submit the taxes, all of the taxes for an I-864. Maybe they were missing a particular form. I've seen an outright denial from the National Benefits Center without even a request for evidence, which we might have seen in years past, asking them to include these additional applications or, you know, the tax information, those kinds of things. And then in our office, what we did see, and I did see reports of this on one of the AILA listservs, we've seen individuals who, for example, you know, were seeking an adjustment and maybe misplaced their I-94 and had just the original visa. And we, you know, if you look at the regulation, it shows that that's prima facie evidence that they're eligible to adjust and everything else was complete. And then we got a denial without an RFE saying that it did not appear they could adjust status because they did not have all of the evidence relating to their lawful entry. So, you know, again, you know, we, of course, we want to do a motion to reopen, reconsider, but we know that takes time and delay, and we can't guarantee that that'll be reopened or reconsidered, depending on who considers that, especially if it's at the benefit center. So I would just advise in terms of a practice pointer, you know, when you're filing cases, and I would say a number of kinds of cases, anything that's not self-explanatory, because we all know that some of these lockbox reviewers, you know, they're not officers. And so they see things, and if you don't lay it out for them, if you don't tell them, hey, this is a recapturing case, and this is, you know, this is the old I-130, and we're recapturing it now with a derivative, and you lay it out on the cover letter and put supervisory review, and here's all this evidence. Or if you don't say, for example, I only have the visa, the I-94 was misplaced because it was 12 years ago, but this person's eligible to adjust, and this is all that's required under the regulation, some evidence, and the policy manual. Allow this to go forward. If you want us to give additional evidence, we will do that at the district office. If it's not a clean, super cut, clean cut, you know, clearly something that, you know, would go through the very robotic review that they do at the lockbox, then I would lay it out, highlight it, put supervisor review, explain it so that we can avoid a denial without an RFE, right? Or, you know, a heavy RFE where you're going to have to basically break it all down for them and cause delay in your case.
Yeah, and I would just add in that for those that are new and even those who are not new, I think it's a really good refresher to look at the form instructions on the I-485. And also on the website, there's an initial evidence checklist. Make sure you have all that. Like, you might think you know what has to be in there, and it will surprise you. You know, you, especially right now, with, I know on the employment-based side, we're all rushing to get everything in, but you got to step back. Like, just today, I was reviewing an application to go out, and we only had, it's a person from India, so they have a lot of trouble getting birth certificates. And we only had a document saying that they don't have a birth certificate. That was it. And that's not good enough, right? That could get denied. So we now have to, you know, hopefully, you know, provide the affidavits, the supporting documentation, right, of birth when they don't have the primary document. And these are just the kinds of examples of, you know, what you don't want to leave out, right? And it would be really horrible and sad if you find out months later, right, that your application is going to be denied and the priority date is no longer current. Not a good situation.
So moving on to form changes and fee increases. So I think we all know by now that at least for the moment, the fee increase that was to be launched by CIS has been enjoined. We know that, you know, this can be subject to change at any time. You know, there's no news as of today in terms of whether there's going to be an effective appeal and the enjoint and the injunction is lifted. So we're basically practicing, I think all of us, especially in the naturalization context, because it is a pretty high hike, you know, that we think that the fees could go up any day, just like we were that month before and working weekends and doing those kinds of things, that we're moving to get these cases out steadily and quickly because it could happen at any time.